Welcome to Scary Stories, the channel that tells you scary stories.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard.
Snow Devils, as told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. Ribber. I'm a 24-year-old male living in a large city. When I was 22, I had a girlfriend, a cat, and a mediocre day job. One of the reasons I hadn't gotten a better job was that I had a really nice boss, this lady in her early 60s, who was kind to me. When my girlfriend abruptly moved out, I was emotionally devastated, and my boss noticed something was wrong. She talked me into explaining the situation to her, that my girlfriend dumped me for a rich guy and that I wasn't going to have enough to make the rent. She surprised me by suggesting I go live rent-free in her cabin up in the woods, and she'd send me work to do via the internet so she could justify continuing to pay me my old salary. Then I could get my head together while saving up to be able to afford to get a place to live again. I didn't drive, so I had to get a car service to drive me and Herbert the cat the 2.5 hours it took to reach the place. For the last 45 minutes, it started to snow, the first snow I had seen that year. Somehow the snow calmed me, and I looked forward to decompressing, remembering what it was like to just be me. I couldn't wait to stop thinking for a while and just be. After we got there, I partially unpacked, searched around for where she said the food would be, and then crashed out. When I woke up, it was morning. I dug through my stuff and found Herbie's breakfast, feeding him before looking for some cereal for myself. I got some almond milk out of the freezer, but realized it would need to thaw, so I sat by the window, eating frosty flakes out of the box with my hand. It was still snowing, even harder than when I had gone to sleep. By now, the snow had covered the ground entirely, from the house back to the tree line. I could see that no person or animal had walked on the snow yet. It was still entirely virgin. "If Bigfoot comes to visit us, we'll know it from his footprints in the snow," I told Herbert, who ignored me, and climbed into my lap for his morning rubdown. I pet the cat and watched the snow, which fell and fell and fell, floating left and right, and up and down, before eventually landing and landing and landing. It mesmerized me, and before long, my eyes must have glazed over worse than the worst couch potato. When I saw the thing moving under the snow, I had to rub my eyes for a while to be able to focus on it. A mound of something under the snow seemed to be moving, like a lump moving under the snow, not leaving a trail. The lump moved forward, and the snow still appeared virgin behind it. How could that be? What could do that? I stared for a while longer, but the lump didn't move again, so I started to wonder if my eyes were tricking me. I resolved to make myself some coffee and do some light exercise to wake up, so that is what I did. After some sit-ups, some push-ups, and jumping jacks, I grabbed my tablet and decided to see if the boss lady's Wi-Fi was as great as she bragged to me that it was. I went over to the same window, but before I could even sit down, I noticed there were now more lumps in the snow than I had noticed before. The one that had seemed to move was still there, but now there were, let me count in my head, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 6 or 7 more. But it was snowing so incredibly hard now that the visibility was maybe 10 feet, and I was pretty certain the lumps extended past where I could see. What the hell were they? I got the Wi-Fi working and Googled for lumps in snow and moving snow lump, but all I got in return was a how to make snowmen with glowing eyes tutorial. After a while, I found myself back to staring out at the snow. Time passed quickly, and Herbert had to alert me to the fact that it was now the evening and time for his dinner. I fed him, and feeling a chill, opened the flue and started a nice, warm fire. I wasn't hungry, but sat there by the window, eating frosty flakes by hand again and staring at the snow, wondering if I would see it move again. I guess I must have fallen asleep because I woke up suddenly to the sound of glass breaking. I stood up and the cereal which had been on my lap spread all over the floor, mixing with the shards of broken glass. I looked up and saw that the bottom pane in the window had been smashed open and a little white rat thing was trying to get inside. I ran back to the fireplace to grab a poker and fight off the white rat thing when it got inside and jumped to the floor. It stood up on its hind legs and I could see it wasn't a rat at all. It was man-shaped, but rat-sized. It was covered in snow, so I couldn't make out if it had any features. Herbie stalked over to it, fur standing on end and growling weird cat noises at it. The thing suddenly had a knife and charged at my cat, who screeched and walked backwards quickly. It stabbed and stabbed at Herbie, almost hitting him a couple times. I flipped out and kicked the thing into the wall. One of its arms broke off, but it immediately rose and charged me. I kicked again, and this time it landed directly in the fire. The thing sounded like frying water and screamed like a dying thing screams. I looked into the fire to see what was under the snow, but it just seemed to melt and leave nothing behind. How could it be made of ice? No organs or skeleton? That made no sense. I stared for a while uncomprehendingly, then jumped in the air when a new sound came from the window. Another of these things was trying to get in. I raced to the glass and pushed the mini monster back outside with my fireplace poker. As I did so, I noticed movement of several snow lumps outside, and then the window was barraged by a torrent of small rocks and ice balls being hurled at it, breaking two more panes. The tiny snowmen charged the window, with two getting in for each one I threw back out. While I was still trying to prevent them getting in, they'd begun climbing my pants legs and climbing up toward my face. I could easily defeat any of them, or even two or three of them, but within a minute I was swarmed by dozens of these things, stabbing at me with icicle knives from my ankles up to my face. I couldn't grab more than one or two at a time, and they'd each get replaced multiple times as I did so. I realized I was losing the battle, so I fell to the floor sharply, trying to crush them under my back and legs, then rolling over. As I did this, their knives only drove in more deeply, and I screamed in pain and fury. I stuck my feet in the fire, and the ones clinging on there died screaming, melting deaths. Quickly, I pulled my sweater off and flung that too into the fire. I did the same with my pants. The cabin was filled with the high-pitched screams of agony, even as I got on my cell phone and called the local authorities. By the time the sheriff's assistants showed up, I had gotten dressed and boarded the window up again using plywood and nails I found exactly where my boss said the tools were kept. I told the police the whole story, and they pointed out to me that the snow is virgin, so nobody had come to the cabin that day. I told them the creatures came under the snow, and they just gave me a look and repeated it would have been impossible for anyone to have come to the cabin and attacked me. "Are you saying I broke the window myself and stabbed myself all over?" I asked them incredulously.
"I don't know what broke the window, sir," the deputy began, "but I'd guess that had something to do with you getting cuts all over yourself."
This made me furious. "That's it? That's the entirety of your investigation?"
"If you'd like, sir, we can drive you to the hospital and they can perform a toxicology test on you."
"Toxicology? You think I'm on drugs?" I was raising my voice now.
"Do you think your current behavior seems sober, sir?"
I calmed down, seeing it from their point of view for the first time. "I guess not," I admitted. Still, I had to get out of that place and ask the cops if they could drop me and Herbie off at the rail station in town so we could head back to the city. They agreed most readily, clearly happy to get me out of their jurisdiction. I got back to the city and started working two jobs to keep that apartment until I could find a new roommate. The rest of the year was an utter hell, and I can barely remember any of it because it featured little other than work and stress. But eventually I did find a new roommate, who I still live with. I found a better job, which now, after a couple of promotions, pays better than both my old jobs combined. I don't have a new steady girlfriend yet, but I've just begun dating, and I am not in a rush as far as that goes. I did hear that my ex got dumped by the guy she dumped me for, and I admit that gave me a chuckle and helped me to get my head back together a bit. I still don't understand what happened to me out at my ex-boss's cabin. Was it my imagination reacting to stress? Had I lost my mind and broken the window myself? Or are there really creatures born of the ice and snow themselves? Creatures with no internal organs or bones made entirely of water and memory? To this day, I can no longer enjoy the winter. While others marvel at the beauty of the snow, my eyes track the surface looking for anomalies and bumps. I've never seen the snow move again like I saw that day, but I still know that it can. So I'll continue to be on guard for my life against the same snow you all think is so beautiful. I don't care if they call me insane. I'm still going to tell you, watch out. Watch out for the snow devils. They'll take what you think is beautiful and turn it into violence. They'll rob you of your innocence and maybe your life. Beware the snow devils and beware of snow.
Come back for more scary stories.